B-Pod Studios.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another episode of Checkpoint Daily. On today's episode, we'll be talking about an old series from the 80s getting a video game revival. Also, Atari making a big decision to move forward with some more expensive games. And PlayStation, they have a big stream coming up later on this week, and we're going to speculate what more we could possibly see from it. And we close today's show out talking about Assassin's Creed. They are moving to a games as a service model. Are you liking it? Are you not liking it? We'll discuss. This is Checkpoint Daily.
The latest esports and gaming news. Checkpoint XP Daily has got you covered. Find it online at checkpointxp.com. Get in the game.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Checkpoint Daily. Your host, Norris Howard, here. I'm back. Y'all thought I was going to be gone for long, but I'm not. I'm always returning, don't you understand? Because this is my show. It might as well be. But anyway, we got some nice folks here joining me. Weird Beard is to my left. How you doing, Weird Beard?
I think that I have officially reached the age where fireworks went from, like, they went cool, then dangerous, then cool. I'm back to uncool again. Like, it's just wild how much people not only spend on it, but, like, the fearlessness that people play with things that go bang.
You know, it's crazy because, like, an NHL goalkeeper just died not too far from here, this studio,
yes,
out in Novi, from a fireworks mishap. Jeez. And we get, listen, every year we get this story in every major metropolitan area. We get the story of people who have lost limbs, phalanges, their lives to fireworks. And listen, I get it, it's a holiday, but, like, I'm gonna be honest, I could do with that. I can't remember the last time I spent
fireworks
actual
are
money.
Just explosives. Like, I didn't obviously watch any over the weekend, but what I did catch was a clip of, I think, San Diego a few years ago, when basically they somehow just set everything off at the same time, and it was just a torrent, just a roar of flames. And, like, while it was impressive, just the sound of it, like, if you'd have just played the sound for me and been like, what do you think this is, I'd have been like, that's fucking war. Mm-hmm. That's something happening in war. And it was weird to see all the different reactions of people. Like, you had one old couple, like, had her husband in the hand, was like, we are fucking gone.
Yeah.
Like, some people are like, well, yeah, other people are confused. And it was just like, yeah.
Dude, one of the weathermen here in Metro Detroit lost an eye in a fireworks mishap.
I worked with a guy once when I was up at Central. I worked at a Walgreens, and I worked with a guy who was missing most of the fingers on one of his hands and had a glass eye because of a firework mishap.
Same thing.
He tried to, specifically, he had just a regular firecracker in his hand, and he thought that he could light it and then just, like, hold it in his hand and just, like, make it go out in his hand. Just blew his hand up.
Dude, I don't know how to... Okay.
Sure.
Well, that's as redneck as you get.
Anyway, Robbie Landis, hi.
What up?
He's here too.
Yep.
But anyway, with that said, here's what's happening in the world of video games.
We got a brand new RoboCop video game just got announced. It is currently obviously in development and slated for release sometime in 2023 from publisher Nacon. It's going to be titled RoboCop Rogue City, and of course it will take place in Detroit. You will control the hero Alex Murphy as RoboCop on a mission to protect Detroit. Besides that, we know that it's destined for PC and unspecified consoles. Probably, I would assume, probably just next gen at that point in 2023, but who knows?
Listen, I'm gonna tell you this right now as somebody from Detroit. I'm excited as hell. All right.
How come? What do you want to see out
of
this
really
game?
Dude, just give me a good, competent third-person shooter. You know what I mean? Like, here's the thing with RoboCop. RoboCop is not the most agile hero in the world. So it's not going to be Devil May Cry or Bayonetta or no shit like that.
It's not like they're trying to... you know, we haven't had a recent RoboCop movie,
yeah,
right? Don't try to make this based on anything, right?
No.
You have the property. If you want to make some changes to him, if you want him to be, you know, a cyborg, fast ninja type shit.
Don't do that. Well, it's RoboCop. Don't do that.
Well, here's the one thing I will say, though, is that, like, RoboCop as a story... is weird in 2021 because it's very much like when you watched it back when it first came out, the allegories of it being fascist weren't really kind of like big, the political implications of it. Now, like,
well, it wasn't necessarily that it was fascist. It was like incredibly like left leaning. It was incredibly anti-corporate, anti-establishment, and it was incredibly left leaning, as opposed to many other properties of the time. Well, where they touched on a lot of these fascist ideas.
Well, that's what I meant by fascist. It's just like it sets up that thing to knock down.
Yeah, it's speaking against
that. And it's just, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see, like, even the, because the guy behind it also is one of the directors of one of the Terminator games.
Yeah, no, mm-hmm. I actually just got to that point here. Yeah, he's recently made some video games, actually. In 2014, Rambo, the video game, which was a rail shooter that was pretty awful. And then in 2019, Terminator Resistance.
Wait, so he did Rambo and then Terminator, and now he wants to do RoboCop. He's just cleaning up the older problems.
Yeah. Just the 80s, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that Terminator Resistance wasn't that bad. It was actually pretty well received. So
according to Polygon, it wasn't the worst.
It wasn't the worst game. The worst game. So a new RoboCop game I'm looking forward to. You know what they should make it like? They should make it like Virtual Cop. You remember Virtual Cop back in the day? You remember Virtual Cop on the Sega Saturn? And in the arcades, it was basically like Time Crisis.
Oh, but yeah, okay, yes. Yes, yeah. Yes, okay.
Yeah, make it like Time Crisis or Virtual Cop. I actually think that'd be really dope.
I think the only saving grace that will come out of this is you've got to make RoboCop cool. Like, you know what I mean?
You know how hard that is?
Exactly. Like, it's very hard, but you're going to have to make RoboCop cool. Otherwise, it's like, why do I care about that over Ratchet and Clank?
Look, this is just going to be another video game based on a movie that, at best, is all right.
I do care about RoboCop more than Ratchet and Clank, so that's not a hard sell for me.
Don't act like you care more about Ratchet. Do you even own Ratchet and Clank, the new game, yet? Have you even picked it up?
No, but it's near. I would rather.
You're over here faking it, man.
You know what? Nah, I don't care about Ratchet and Clank because Jack and Daxter got the short end of the stick.
All right, I'll take that.
100%. All right. 100%.
So Jack and Daxter had to die for Ratchet and Clank to have the sort of installments it has now. I don't like that game.
So last April, when a new CEO took over Atari, they announced that the company would be reorganized into two major divisions, your Atari Gaming and your Atari Blockchain. Now the company has decided that it's going to improve these plans. They are now going to be moving away from mobile and free-to-play and focusing more on premium gaming. Rosen, the CEO, says, "Our intent with any gaming experience is to provide accessible and joyful moments of meaningful play, and it seems that going forward they actually want to start focusing on games specific to PC and to the console." Did you guys know that the Atari console launched?
I didn't know it launched.
It's out now.
This is what I have to say is I just remember that Atari announced that they were opening 8 video game hotels around the country. They were supposed to be, quote, synthetic reality. Dog, I think that they have no idea what they're doing.
He also said, "We feel that premium gaming is a better representative of the type of gaming experience and the Atari DNA."
Do you think they owe people? Are they being chased down by, like, mob people for money?
What does a premium Atari game look like? You going to bring Pitfall into 3D?
Listen, they tried to do it, and it sucked. But the thing is, they have stuff like Roller Coaster Tycoon, which should on its surface be something that could be turned into a premium game that could be successful once more.
Yeah, they plan on either selling off or shutting down their current Roller Coaster Tycoon property.
Bullshit.
I hate this.
I'm really upset about that. And especially because, like, what... How long do you think that, like, Pong and Centipede will be properties that people care about? Like, the nostalgia factor is there for a certain segment. But
they,
like,
don't.
Yeah, you approach anybody under the age of, I think, even 40 and go, like, "Hey, would you be interested in a Pong?"
They don't. No. I could play Pong, but better. It's called Windjammers, and it's way better.
Breakout?
All of it.
Yeah.
All of it's way better.
Like,
listen.
Like looking at Wikipedia, the most recent game that Atari published was Area 51 in 1998.
A great game, but it's like
Let
an
me
arcade
tell you something.
Classic. And
Let
that's
me
it.
Tell you something. Do you know what one of my favorite games from Suda 51 is called?
Is it a No More Heroes game?
No, it's called Let It Die.
Okay.
Atari.
Gross.
They have actually developed 8 games in the past 21 years, all of which never made it to publishing.
But
they're going to make premium games now.
It's a dead company.
I don't know what they're trying to, like... When you say blockchain and then hotels and then premium game services, and then it sounds like they're the GameStop.
As a result of this new strategy, Atari is expected to take a $5.9 million impairment loss.
What money do they have to lose?
Yeah. I just want to know what their stuff. I mean, their licensing. You know what they did? They probably got paid so much pixels.
Guys, we don't have to wait very long. They're planning to build a strong pipeline of premium games on all platforms, with the first of these games arriving before the end of March, 2022.
Robbie. I could.
Atari cometh.
I could program all the Atari games with my phone and ship them out today. It doesn't take them any time to put these games out, man.
If they want it to be premium, they have to come up with something brand new. There's nothing in the Atari library that I would call premium.
Robbie, what do you think premium means to a company like Atari?
Yes.
Be honest. That's more than
what they're doing,
that's
man.
The thing, is that what does premium mean to them? And no, you're not going to get a AAA title coming out of Atari.
Well, then they're not going to do what they think they're doing.
No!
Okay, moving on.
Done.
We have a brand new Sony PlayStation State of Play coming tomorrow, and since it takes place later in the day when we've all left the office, we're going to talk about it a little bit today. We know for sure that they are going to be showing some Deathloop gameplay footage, which I feel like we've seen.
Just put the fucking
game out. I was so excited when I first saw this game, but I feel like they've been peddling it to us now for so long that it's like, just put it out.
Yes.
Other than Deathloop, if you guys could see something in this State of Play, realistically... what would you like to see?
I can tell you, even though it wasn't featured in the Square Enix presentation, yep. I feel like Sony is going to own the new Final Fantasy.
They have to.
Yes, like I think it's going to be a not genre defining, but like a moment defining. I really think that it's going to be one of those titles that they are going to put the Sony machine behind, and Square Enix itself isn't going to get it. But if you have Sony really hyping it up.
Do you mean Final Fantasy 16?
Yes. Mm.
See, here's the thing. I don't think we see Final Fantasy 16. I think it's a pipe dream.
Yep.
all right.
We got our one trailer, and now we're going to go 5 years before we see anything else.
I don't listen. I'm going to be honest. Because it's Business Unit 3, and because Yoshi-P actually knows how to put shit out on time, and he's helming the project, I actually think that even if it is delayed, the delay won't be that long. I think trying to put it out this year is lofty. I think we won't see it till next year. But the thing about it is that I actually agree with Rick with the fact that I think Sony will put some muscle behind the game, because that's a platform seller. Not yeah. that they need any more people to go and buy PlayStation 5.
Well, first of all, we can't buy them. We need more platforms before you need a platform seller.
We need more platforms.
Seller.
But I think, you know, that is one of the games that will define and justify the need to have a PlayStation 5 right now, right? So I think, you know, for me, that was like Metal Gear 4 when PlayStation 3 came out. Like, that was, I have to have a PlayStation 3 because I want to play Metal Gear 4, period. I think that's how you're going to see the latest Final Fantasy game, but I don't think we're getting in this State of Play. Again, I think Deathloop is cool. I think it's an amazing, stylized-looking game. It looks like it's going to be really fun, but I'm with Robbie. I don't need to see shit else from this game.
Yeah, exactly.
Just let me play the fucking game.
At this point, you're going to have seen the entire game before you've played the game.
Yep. Here's my prediction. I think that Deathloop is going to be the biggest thing that we see out of this Sony State of Play.
Probably.
I think that it is going to be a massive disappointment, and I think that social media is just going to chew Sony up over this.
I mean, they did announce that they're going to be including some indie titles. Indie titles can sometimes pull through. I don't think it's going to appease. I don't think it's going to appease the majority of people, but if they pick the correct indie titles that are able to get enough people hyped to not have it be a disaster, I think that's the win. You know what I mean? Like, they're playing to not lose at this point.
I mean, listen, I think it would behoove Sony to treat it like an E3 keynote where they have a long gameplay preview of Deathloop and then have 20 more minutes of...
This is the first announcement or the first of anything you've said since E3.
Since E3. Yeah.
So regardless of what you think it is, regardless of how you market it, regardless of the expectations you think you are setting, everyone's going to look at this as your response to E3.
Yep. So knowing that, you either got to come with something we don't expect, or you got to come with more than what you've put out. So I definitely think that it's going to be something that at the end of the day will harm Sony. They will not look good after the end
of this
state of play.
Press.
It's going to be bad press. And the part of it that I hate is the fact that you got Deathloop, which is being developed by a team that, you know, Arkane, that I think, you know, is ran by awesome people, and the game looks great, but they are going to be the ones taking the flak for this. In this game that probably is going to end up great, is going to have this specter of
this stigma
in the same way that so many Final Fantasy games and other games have in the past of, I saw too much of it.
Yep.
I saw way too much of it. So hopefully this is not something that's too damaging to Sony or Arkane in terms of Deathloop, but we will see at about 5 p.m. Eastern tomorrow.
That's right.
So be prepared for that. Now, we're going to take a quick break. Coming back in part two, we're going to talk about Assassin's Creed Infinity. That's right. The new games as a service move from Ubisoft and Assassin's Creed that everybody is literally just asking WTF.
Bring the heat. Share your thoughts on socials with us at Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter. You could even be featured on tomorrow's show.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to Checkpoint Daily. If you haven't already, make sure you guys head over to our website, checkpointxp.com, where I will have a post up tomorrow about the Dynasty Warriors movie. And if you haven't seen it, don't go. Don't.
Where is this ad?
It's on Netflix.
Oh, God, that's already...
Yeah, it's on Netflix. I'm going to be honest, if you are a fan of the Dynasty Warriors series, check it out just for sheer morbid curiosity. But it jumps the shark multiple times. And by the end of it, it's full-blown Dragon Ball Z. So make sure that you guys check out that article over on our website, checkpointxp.com. Now, the news of the day that we've seen breaking all over social media, all over the place. People are talking about the Assassin's Creed Infinity project. The news was first broken by Jason Schreier over at Bloomberg, saying that the Assassin's Creed video game franchise will be moving to a massive online platform that evolves over time. Now, again, if this sounds familiar... It is familiar because that's called an MMO.
Yes.
Game as a service.
Bleh. That is correct.
Man, y'all just fixed Assassin's Creed.
You know what? And that's where I am, Robbie, because you know me. I'm a big fan of the Assassin's Creed series. As a history buff, I've always liked Assassin's Creed. The last three games have been actually really good.
I would say that they're... more than serviceable. You
they're
know what
really
I mean?
Like, good.
No, they've been good.
They've been actually good.
But that's what I'm saying is like, from even if you don't like them, you know what I mean? At the baseline, you can't really tear them down that much.
No. And Robbie has said so much to me as somebody who doesn't play a lot of Assassin's Creed is that he'll play them and they're good.
I used to play a lot of Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
When they basically got to the point where they were releasing them like their Call of Duty games, that's when I stopped.
Yeah.
And then I got back in with Origins.
Because I borrowed Origins from you. I was off the train.
Yep.
And
I skipped out on Odyssey, but I mean, Assassin's Creed Valhalla was really great. And in fact, just looking it up, 2020 was their best sales year ever.
Yeah.
So what I don't understand, Ubisoft, is who came up to you and convinced you that, you know what, we have a great winning formula. Let's change it up.
So here's two things that I think are a major player here. Because first and foremost, I think they don't want to do that, Robbie. I think what they don't want to do is get into the yearly installment rigmarole again and turn people off. Because they saw drop-off. They saw a massive drop-off when they moved to that model. After they put out Assassin's Creed, I believe it was Revelations. They started moving to these weird yearly... They started moving to these weird yearly installments on multiple platforms, and people started not really caring. Because Black Flag was cool, but I had five other motherfucking games I had to play after that, and none of them were particularly satisfying to play. And so I think that is a factor going into this, and I think a second factor is, dude, we got to be honest, it's the GTA Online effect.
Yes, it's 100%. I think they see how much money is being made and they go, oh, they're not going anywhere.
But what they don't realize is that that isn't because of the type of game GTA Online is. It's the fact that it's GTA 5. Like, they were able to do that. It's not just like you can launch a game as a service and be the next GTA Online.
No, but I think if they can even get a fraction of that kind of success, it would still be the biggest thing Ubisoft has ever done in their company's history. And here's the thing. My issue is I don't know how the fuck you actually do it and make it satisfying, right?
Yes.
Because for me, the reason why GTA Online works is because you got one map. Multiple servers, but you got one map. That map, for the most part, can be manipulated by the players through tools, through mods, through this, this, that, and the third. We all know about the no-pixel servers and the RP community that's built out there. So we do know that there are ways that the player base has been able to manipulate the world,
yep,
even if it is in small ways, in order to get more out of that quote-unquote persistent world.
It works because what you want to do with GTA Online fits in the game you already have. Without giving spoilers, there's a moment in a Mythic Quest episode recently where they talk about wanting to make this game, but they can't do it because the game you want to make doesn't work with the game that we have.
Yep. Yes.
And what I'm afraid is even if they go and make something that does work, whatever this Assassin's Creed Legacy is, it's not the game, the past three games, that people have loved. And so by now changing it, sure, you might have an okay product. You might have a fun product. But you're now risking alienating all the fans that you've made or, like me and you, managed to actually bring back in.
No, I agree. And I think the biggest thing that is really, really important for people to realize is that Assassin's Creed has always benefited from being able to pull people back in based on whatever setting that they put in. Because you're always going to appeal to something like, I love pirates, so I'll go play Black Flag.
Exactly.
I like Egypt, so I'll go play Origins or whatever. I love, you know, ancient Greece, you know, classical Greece, so I'll go play Odyssey.
They found a decent way to capitalize on the Final Fantasy model where you don't have to play every single one to know what's going on.
Exactly. And so for that instance, it was starting to benefit them, not just based on the settings, but also based on what you just said, Robbie, is that you can get enjoyment out of every game regardless if you played the previous ones. Now, what they're going to have to do with this is a weird MMO model where you're going to have some kind of persistent story.
No, even worse than the MMO model, right? Because this isn't going to be an MMO. At best, what you're doing is what Avengers is doing right now.
No, actually,
The base model, and then throughout the next few months, you can start releasing new story packs.
Well, I mean, that's the MMO model, Robbie. Yeah,
I think this is dumb. Like, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it feels, I always say this, like the homogenization of movies, right? They mm-hmm. all seem to have like the blue lightning thing in the sky, and they eventually all start like feeling like one big blob of each other. Assassin's Creed at least owned a lane, you know? Like,
it was unique.
Yes, it had its thing, and there was more Assassin's Creed clones than there were anything else. Now Assassin's Creed is chasing the trends. How is that going to work out for them? I don't think it is. I think that they are leaving their own lane that they occupied to try to fight other games that already do it better.
Well, and not only that, though, I think the problem is I don't know how you monetize it, right? Because if you're going to ask people to pay a monthly sub for this, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen.
Yes.
And even if you say you make it like The Division, which is another Ubisoft property that is, quote-unquote, games as a service, a persistent world.
Quote.
Even if you do it that way, how do you then leverage the number one selling point of Assassin's Creed, which is the historical settings? So you would have to what? You would have to play as some random ass person who has access to an animus, and then they can just go to multiple timelines. That's not necessarily compelling storytelling. That feels like Turtles in Time.
Yes.
Which is fucking dumb.
Yeah.
Like, I love Turtles in Time, but that was Ninja fucking Turtles,
yeah,
okay?
Yeah. No,
that was not Assassin's Creed.
Everything about this just really, really turns me off to the Assassin's Creed IP.
Totally. It makes me never want to.
Look, I
want. I'm not getting invested.
Once a year and a half, I am willing to drop $60 on your game and put 70 hours into it. That's it. That's all I need out of you.
Dude, I have 114 hours in Odyssey, okay?
Yeah, and I think I was still only like 30% through it.
Yeah, I have played the fuck out of Odyssey. It's a great game. It's the first time I looked at a video game and I said, you know what? This might be too big. This might be too much video game.
Valhalla, way too big.
Yeah, this might be too much video game, Rick. What am I supposed to do? I have 100%. I have 100 plus hours in Odyssey, and I haven't 100% that game.
Why do game companies and developers continue to think that it's, like, bigger? You know what I mean? Like, they just go at 5,000 hours totally.
Well, but the thing is that compared to Odyssey, Valhalla is scaled down, even though you say it's too big. It's still scaled
down. There's just a lot of shit to do.
It's still scaled down comparatively. But the thing about it to me is that I would rather you give me too much than not enough. Mm-hmm. And if you're going to move to this kind of model where you're talking about persistent worlds that you're going to have to constantly churn content into, because this is what the people who do games as a service tend to always fucking forget, is, okay, when you put out your game, if it's a premium AAA experience, you put it out, and yeah, with some patches or maybe some DLC, for the most part, you give me that $60 game, it's done.
Yeah.
Start to finish, I got everything I need. The story is complete. I can 100% it. I got all the collectibles I could want. It's already there. When you have games as a service, you will have to churn content into this game.
The expectation
for
changes
years
so much.
And years and years.
And people expect
and
it
years.
Monthly, which is and too they, much, by the
and
way.
And they
but.
Expect it. Consistently.
Consistently.
I'll say
you
consistently.
Go.
You're not going to be able to do Assassin's Creed persistent. That's part of why people play The Division for 2 months and don't
never touch it again. Yeah.
Because you don't inject the game with content consistently enough to keep people there. Right now, the only people who have figured out the formula and got it right is fucking WoW, Final Fantasy 14, and I don't know, like Black Desert. So at this point, you're competing with MMOs that have player bases in the millions. You can't compete with that, Ubisoft. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you also are going to be, I think, in the elephant graveyard of every other company that's tried to do it.
And you're doing it with an IP that you just salvaged.
Yes, exactly.
And was doing good.
Listen, I hope they prove me wrong on this. I don't
sure.
think they will.
Yeah.
But I hope they prove me wrong on this, but I just can't help but think this is such a terrible, terrible, terrible idea. And in our chat, Valiant Summer saying Bungie has the same issue with Destiny 2.
100%.
Every persistent game has this issue. Every one of them. GTA Online, until it hit, I believe it was like its third year in service, until it hit like its third or fourth year in service, people really were not fucking with GTA Online
at all.
Until they introduced the heist system, people were not really fucking with GTA Online, and then you finally gave them something to do, and now it is what it is. But that's flash in the pan. You're not going to be able to capture that lightning in the bottle, Ubisoft, because you don't have the IP, you don't have a player base, you don't have the story to tell because the story is nonsense at this point. You don't have the consumer goodwill. See, Rockstar can do whatever they want because they put out good shit every time.
Calling it now, right, wherever the waiting area is before you jump into, like, the Animus, you get to customize and you can, like, invite people over to your clubhouse.
Yeah, you already know it. You already know it. That's what this is going to be. You're going to go in. I'm going to tell you how this whole game is about to work. This is what it's going to be. You're going to go in. You're going to create an avatar. You're going to have your avatar. That avatar is going to be a descendant of multiple assassins across the timeline.
I'm already out.
Right? This is what it's going to be. So they're going to say, all right, Mr. Assassin, you're the final piece. You're the final link. It's you. It's you that's going to connect all these threads from all these games that we've left hanging loose. And so here's the Animus, and we need you to go to these. We're going to start with three timelines, right? So now, by the way, all the painstaking detail that you put into just one of your game worlds, you got to do three times
now. Yes, minimum.
Minimum, because if you just offer me one or two, people are going to be like, fuck that, because you're just not going to be able to do it well enough. So now you're going to be able to say, okay, go to Japan, go to somewhere in South America, and go to somewhere in Africa, I guess, right? Okay, those are your three timelines. all of those are going to suck collectively because you're going to have to split time in
and
them.
Characters
and all the development.
I want to add a quick something onto this, right? Instead of being a descendant of multiple assassins, we're going to take something from Valhalla, right? You actually aren't a descendant. So in order to access these timelines, in the current timeline, you have to team up with your friends and go out and find the DNA samples from
each
of them.
Oh, my God. Even worse.
Yeah. Gross.
Even worse. Yeah. Even worse. And that's the same thing. And we haven't even gotten to the gear grind of all this. So
that how do you make sense that the gear is going to, like, go from, like, timeline to timeline?
You can't. You can't. This is
dumb. So every time a new story comes out, guess what? You get to start over again.
It's so stupid. And like I said, I played the first Division game, and I checked out so fast because once I saw that I had to just go to the Dark Zone and grind in order to complete the actual game, I was out. I don't have time for that anymore. I already play one MMO. I can't be playing 3 and 4 MMOs. I'm out. So I don't know if this is the right decision for you, Ubisoft. You already got me back with the last few games, but I think this is not a good sign for you. I'd be interested to see what their shares did on the market after this announcement, because I'm pretty sure people are not happy about it. But anyway, that's going to be it for this episode of Checkpoint Daily. Don't forget, we will be back here tomorrow with even more news and all that good fun stuff. So for Weird Beard and Robbie Landis, I'm your host, Norris Howard. And we'll see y'all tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.